I love Islam. 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 I love Islam.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
Dear viewers of I Love Islam, welcome back. You're watching us, you're joining us today. Please make sure you stay with us till the end of the program because today we have some exciting topics, inshallah. We'll be sharing with you. We have a topic about animals. Subhanallah, we're going to talk about animals today. I'm going to share with you a story about animals, inshallah. And also, as normal, we have various segments. We have story time, we have Islamic manners, Sunnah lifestyle, we have Islamic rulings, and also we get chance to listen to a kalam as well. So please make sure you stay tuned, watch the program till the end. In fact, why don't you ring your friends? Let your friends and uncles and let them know that it's I Love Islam now. Please tell them to turn Madri channel on and so they can enjoy the program as well as learn Islamic knowledge. Alhamdulillah, in the studio, I have Hassan Raza here with me. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you doing, Hassan Raza?
Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah. It looks like, are you tired or excited?
Excited and tired.
Untied, mashallah. Anyway, back to our I Love Islam program. Today we have Hassan Raza with us. Okay, then let's listen to a kalam first then. Okay, let's listen to a kalam. So all those kids who are watching, please make sure you join in as well, inshallah. Come on, Raza, Hassan Raza.
Sallallahu alayka ya Rasulallah wa sallam alayka ya Habiballah. حسبي ربي جل الله ما في قلبي غير الله نور محمد صلى الله لا إله إلا 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 الله حسبي ربي جل الله ما في قلبي غير الله نور محمد صلى الله لا إله إلا الله تيري صدقي مئة صار جهاك دين ملا بدينون كلمة برا لا إله إلا الله حسبي ربي جل الله ما في قلبي غير الله نور محمد صلى الله لا إله إلا الله سمت نبي بو جهل گیا آقا سے اس نے کہا گر ہو نبی بتلا ہو ذرا میری مٹھی میں ہے کیا آقا کا فرمان ہوا اور فضل رحمان ہوا مٹھی سے کن کر بولا لا الہ الا اللہ حسبي ربي جل الله ما في قلبي غير الله نور محمد محمد صلى الله لا إله إلا الله اپنی بہن سے بول عمر یہ تو بتا کیا کرتی تھی میرے آنے سے پہلے کیا چپکے برتی تھی اپنی بہن سے بول عمر یہ تو بتا کیا کرتی تھی میرے آنے سے پہلے کیا چپکے پڑھتی تھی بہن نے جب قرآن پڑا سن کے کلام پاک خدا دل عمر کا بول اٹھا لا الہ الا اللہ حسبی ربی جل اللہ ما فی قلبی خیر اللہ نور محمد صلی اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ حسبی ربی جل اللہ ما فی قلبی خیر اللہ نور محمد صلی اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وآلہ وسلم. Subhanallah, what a beautiful start to the program by listening to a kalam and the naat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alhamdulillah, a lot of kids love this kalam. I think because we said animals, I've got a surprise for you. Okay, but right now, let's move on to our first segment of the day, story time.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Today in this segment, story time, we have a beautiful topic, animals in the Quran. Subhanallah, what a beautiful topic that we have today. Subhanallah, animals in the Quran. And in this story time, we are going to talk about animals in the Quran. Subhanallah. There are many chapters in the glorious Quran. In many various parts of the Quran, there is a mention of creatures, animals. And there are names of animals that have been mentioned. And in particular, there are some surah in the Quran that have been named after an animal. Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah. Can you believe this? The Quran, which is the last and final message of Allah, is the Quran is the kalam of Allah and it's the guidance for the whole mankind. In this glorious Quran, there are surah, there are chapters that are named after animals. And in various verses of the Quran, there's a discussion about animals. Subhanallah. And somewhere where other incidents are discussed, the animals that are in part of them events, they are mentioned as well. Subhanallah. And today, inshallah, I'm going to start off with a beautiful story. And this story is Sayyiduna Sulaiman alayhi salam and the ant. Allahu Akbar. A beautiful story. All those kids who are hearing this first time, please make sure you pay attention and listen to this story because it's so beautiful. It's an amazing story. Because today we're going to talk about Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam and the ant. But before I actually mention to you the actual incident, I want to give you a bit of background. Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam is the son of Sayyiduna Dawood alayhi salam. Subhanallah, what a great blessing. A father is a prophet and his son is also a prophet as well. Subhanallah. And not just this, Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam was a successor of his blessed father. Allah Azza wa Jal blessed Sulaiman alayhi salam with great honor, great status. One, the great status of prophethood, he is a Nabi of Allah, and also the kingship. He ruled the whole world. He ruled the kingdom of the whole world. Allahu Akbar. In this day and age, we have the concept of kings in various countries. Some people are king for one country or two countries or few other countries. But Sayyidina Sulaiman al-Islam, subhanAllah, he ruled the world. He was the king of the world, subhanAllah. And this wasn't for a short period. Sayyidina Sulaiman al-Islam, he remained on the throne for around 40 years. Subhanallah, Hassan Raza, that's amazing, isn't it? Yeah? A prophet of Allah, and then he's the king of the whole world, and then he stayed there on the throne for 40 years. Subhanallah. Sayyidina Sulaiman al-Islam, he wasn't like ordinary kings that we have, what we sometimes think like what king is. Sayyidina Sulaiman al-Islam was is someone who obviously, you know, in the status, the best of the rest of all humans, because he's a prophet of Allah. Yeah, but also he was given some special powers. Yeah, subhanAllah, Sayyidina Sulaiman al-Islam ruled not just over humans, but he ruled over jinns, over devils, birds, beasts, insects, everything and everyone. SubhanAllah, that is amazing. SubhanAllah, Allah Azza wa Jal blessed Sulaiman al-Islam with such power of speech that he could understand and communicate with every creature. SubhanAllah, Allahu Akbar. And this is not something that is just been written in some books, ordinary books. This has been mentioned in the glorious Quran. And I'm going to read to you the translation of verse number 16 from Surah Naml. So it's Surah Naml, which is in part 19, Surah Naml, verse number 16. And the translation is, and Sulaiman became Dawood's successor. And he said, O people, we have been taught the language of birds and have been given from all things. This surely is an evident favor of Allah. Subhanallah. One beautiful lesson we learn from this verse is that Sulaiman al-Islam used to thank Allah Ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us so many favors, so many blessings, so many, you know, qualities, bounties that we have today. It's important for us, for each and everything, we say thanks to Allah Ta'ala. So all this that we have is from Allah. Look, the power of speech. You're watching this program, you're watching it with your eyes. Eyes is a gift from Allah. You can hear me, you can hear the words, you can make understanding of what I'm saying to you. This is a favor of Allah Ta'ala. Without the mercy and favor of Allah Azza wa Jal, we can't understand each other, we cannot communicate. This is a favor of Allah Ta'ala. And from this verse we learn that we should always be thankful to Allah Ta'ala, because Sulaiman al-Islam was blessed with so many qualities, so many special powers. Even then, he used to say that all this is from Allah. He used to be thankful to Allah Ta'ala. SubhanAllah. In another place in the glorious Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, and we made the wind subservient to Sulaiman, its morning course equal to a month's journey, and the evening course equal to a month's journey. And we caused the spring of molten copper to flow for him. And Allah made subservient to Sulaiman some of the jinns who worked before him by the command of his Lord. And those among them, the jinns who turned away from our command, we shall make them taste the punishment of the blazing fire. They would make for him whatever he wished: lofty palaces, statues, bowls as large as big pools, and large cooking pots fixed in their places. SubhanAllah. Right, because today's topic is about animals in the Quran, and I'm going to start off with this great incident, beautiful waqia that has been mentioned in the glorious Quran. It has been narrated that once Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, he was passing with all of his army that consisted of humans as well as jinns. Allahu Akbar. Just imagine Sulaiman al-Islam, you know, traveling And there's so many people, different type of armies with him. Humans and jinns as well. SubhanAllah. They were traveling. And they were traveling from the valley of Namal. I want you to remember this name. The valley of Namal. And this is situated in the Arab Sharif, in the place called Taif, or it's in Syria. What is this valley all about? This valley, in this, there were so many ants, you could say possibly thousands of ants. So many ants that would exist in large numbers, because this valley was known for ants. Yeah, Namal means ants. So this valley was of ants. So you can imagine how many ants would have been in that valley. So Sulaiman al-Islam, with his armies, he was traveling past this valley. And the queen ant, she was a female, and she was also lame. You can say she had special needs. Yeah? Possibly one of the leg, it was injured or fractured. So she was lame, and she became aware that Sulaiman al-Islam is coming this way. And this ant called out the rest of ants, warned every ant over there, and said to them, "O ants, all of you, go in your holes. Otherwise, Sayyidina Sulaiman al-Islam and his army may unknowingly crush you under their feet." Allahu Akbar. That is just mind-blowing. The ant became aware that Sulaiman al-Islam and the army was on the way. It became so worried, but this queen was so caring. She called out to all the rest ants. I said to them, "Sulaiman al-Islam and the army are heading this way. Unknowingly, they might crush you. So please, everyone, run to your homes. Run to your homes, get to your holes and hide, so that you don't get crushed. Save your lives." Sayyidina Sulaiman al-Islam heard the speech of the ant from a distance of 3 miles. Allahu Akbar, 3 miles. Just imagine how far 3 miles is. Yeah? Sulaiman al-Islam was around 3 miles away from that area where this queen ant was talking to the rest. Sulaiman al-Islam, the great prophet of Allah, he heard the conversation or the message of this queen ant. He heard this announcement. And you know what Sulaiman al-Islam did? He smiled. SubhanAllah. He smiled that, look, this queen ant is being so protecting, and she's considering, you know, the welfare of the rest of ants. And she's making them aware, she's warning them that what if Sulaiman al-Islam and the army come this way, and unknowingly they might crush you. Therefore, quickly save yourselves. Run for your life, hide your holes. Sulaiman al-Islam heard this communication 3 miles away. And he smiled. SubhanAllah, that is just mind-blowing. Allahu Akbar. This incident has actually been mentioned in the glorious Quran. In Surah Namal, verse number 18 and 19 discusses this particular aspect. And the translation is, "Until when they came to the valley of the ants, an ant exclaimed, 'O ants, enter your homes. Sulaiman and his armies may not crush you unknowingly.' So he, Sulaiman al-Islam, therefore smilingly laughed at her speech." SubhanAllah. Allahu Akbar. There are some beautiful points that we need to take away from this incident that took place. Allahu Akbar. Number one, that Sulaiman al-Islam was around 3 miles away. You know, if we, all of us, when we, and someone's talking to us in a whisper, in a very low voice, and you're at a distance, you can't hear the person. And if someone is, say, you know, 100 meters away, you won't know what's going on. You won't know what's happening. This is our human conversation. But one hearing the ant, you know, and understanding what the ant is talking about, that itself is extraordinary. This is something that Allah Ta'ala blessed Sulaiman alayhi salam with great power, that he could understand the speech of the ants as well. Subhanallah. That is just amazing. That is a great favor of Allah Ta'ala upon Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam. And not just understanding the communication, but being able to listen to that message, that announcement of the ant, 3 miles away. So far away, hearing the new tiny sound, which even all of us, if we were to get together, just imagine you got in front of you, and you're like putting your ear right next to it. You're trying to hear something, you won't even understand anything. It's a different way of communication. It's a different signal, different frequency. We won't even know that the ant is talking or speaking. We won't even know this. We won't be able to hear any sound. But Sulaiman al-Islam did hear the sound of this ant announcing, and also he became aware of the message and he smiled over it. Subhanallah. That is just amazing. From here we learn that prophets of Allah have been given some special powers, extraordinary powers. These are called miracles, mu'jizat. And this is a gift from Allah Ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal gives these special powers to His chosen people of Allah Ta'ala. So as Muslims, it is important that we be aware of this as well. So if you see something which is beyond you, it's extraordinary, and your mind cannot comprehend, then it's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Because you have limitations. We have limitations to understand things. But there are things that are beyond us. And one of the signs that are for us here are miracles. Miracles have been given to the prophets of Allah, mu'jizat, and this is just one example. Subhanallah. Another beautiful lesson that we learn from this story is Hassan Raza. From here we learn that the queen ant, if you actually observe the words, what she announced, There was one word she used, that the army of the Prophet Sulaiman al-Islam may crush the ants unknowingly, unintentionally. Why did the ant say that? Just imagine, like, you know, like a huge army is coming on the way. Generally, you know that it's going to crush you. Things are going to get destroyed. That's what happens with the armies, don't they, generally? Yeah, when armies come, they come for the battles and whatever. They generally is known for destructions. Yeah. And so armies coming, and then especially the ants, small insects, they'll fear for their lives. And both the ants said that unknowingly they might crush you. What does that mean? That means the ant, even the ant, has so much respect for the Prophet of Allah and those who were in his company. Because the army of Sulaiman alayhi salam, they're not a normal army. They're the army of the Prophet of Allah. So this is a special army. So even the ant knew that the army of the prophets, those who are close, the companions of the prophets, they don't do injustice. They are not cruel people. They won't just come here and do, spread destruction. They won't just murder us, they won't kill us on purpose. But unknowingly, accidentally, without being aware, they might crush us. This is possible, this can happen. So even the ant knew that those who are companions of the Prophet, they are nice people, they are gentle people. So even this ant, the queen ant, had respect for them. Subhanallah. A lesson for us here. As Muslims, it is important to be aware that we must have love and respect for all the Sahaba, all the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. We must have love and affection for all the members of Ahlul Bayt, the blessed family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Any personality, any individual who has a connection with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for us, we have huge respect and honor. Especially those Muslims who lived at the early times, the Sahaba and those who followed that generation, and then those who followed that generation, the first three generations in particular, we have to have so much love and respect for them. Whenever we talk about them, we must talk, and we must say their names with love and affection, with respect. For example, when we sing together, we are talking about Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. We shouldn't just say Abu Bakr said this, or we shouldn't say Umar said this, or Uthman said this, Ali said this. Now this is not a nice way. This is not a way of respecting. As Muslims, whenever you say the names of the great companions, the Sahaba, we have to say them with utmost respect and honor. For example, when you want to talk about Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, you say the first Caliph of Islam, the first leader of the Muslims, Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Say radiyallahu ta'ala anhu as well. And then if you say the name of Sayyidina Umar, you say the second Caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And then you have, when you mention the third Caliph, say the third Caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And when you want to mention Ali, you say the fourth Caliph of Islam, Sayyiduna Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Now we have to say the names with respect and honor. So please try to bring these words on your tongue as well. Practice them. Speak to your parents, ask them how to pronounce these names correctly, and practice them. And whenever you say their name, make sure you say them with respect. That's one of the beautiful lessons we learned from the Queen Ant, from the Valley of Namal. And that this has been mentioned in the glorious Quran. Another beautiful lesson to take away from this incident is that here we learn that sometimes the word laughing can be used, when someone was smiling or laughing. So sometimes laughing can be used as well, and some people can take this out of context. So whenever we say that, whenever we have the word laughing mentioned, when it's connected with the prophets of Allah, then we have to be very careful and we have to have the correct meaning. We have also come to know that laughing of the blessed Anbiya, the prophets of Allah alayhi wasalam, is only a smile. It's only a smile or an inaudible laugh. Okay, some people laugh. And they make that noise, don't they? Ha 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 ha, they make that noise. This is not a respectful thing. It's not a nice thing to do. It's not something that noble people, respectful people do this. It is important for us that we have the correct meaning of such words. Whenever you read anywhere when it says a certain prophet of Allah laughed, here it means a smile. He smiled, and all the prophets of Allah, they have great personalities, great character. So it is important for us to keep that in our mind as well. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. This is one waqiyah that I shared with you that is mentioned in the glorious Quran. And this was about the Sulaiman al-Islam and the ant. Hassan Raza, can you summarize few things that you learned from the story?
Yeah.
Just few facts.
So Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam was a prophet. His father was a prophet, and he was a king of not only a country but the whole world.
Subhanallah.
And he...
Can I just correct you one thing? Yeah. All the kids who are watching this program, remember whenever you mention the prophets, for example, we're talking about Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, we don't say he was a prophet. We don't say he was. We say he is. Because all the prophets of Allah, they are physically alive as well in their graves. In their resting places, they are still physically alive. As Muslims, we need to remember, we say Sulaiman al-Islam is a prophet of Allah. We don't say he was. Okay, this is a better appropriate way to say this.
So
Sulaiman Islam ruled the world.
Yeah, and he had the knowledge to listen to any single creature, animal, or human, or anything.
Bird,
yeah,
insects, beasts as well.
And he could talk back to them.
Subhanallah. Let's move on to our next segment of the program, which is Sunnah Lifestyle.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Sunnah Lifestyle. And today, inshallah, Zawajal, we will be talking about how we should be treating guests. Subhanallah. Now, there's two things to keep in mind first. We have two type of people. Whenever there's a guest that comes to your house, there's two type of hosts. One of them is, oh no. Or someone's, another person's come to our house, or now we have to give him food. We'll have to give him drink. We'll have to make a, no, we'll have to cook something for him. We'll have to make tea for them. So they get annoyed, they get frustrated. Hassan Raza, you know, this is not a nice thing to do. This is not the way of Islam. Islam teaches us always have respect and love. Treat your guests very nicely. That's the Islamic way. Whenever you have guests, rather than being, you know, frustrated and thinking, oh no, oh, someone's come again. Oh no, not again. You know, as soon as you see someone like crossing, you know, like the road, and you know it's coming to your house, think, oh no, oh, someone coming to our house. Some people, I don't know why people, why that happens. Remember this, that as Muslims, we need to respect and we need to care for our guests. We should be, you know, we should host them with love and affection. Make them feel welcome. And be nice to them. And you know, as soon as you open the door, you know, and when you see a guest, give them a big smile. Say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yeah, shake hands with them, meet them, greet them, welcome them in. Get them to your house if possible, get them to visit your house, sit inside. Whilst you're sitting down, you know, when you have guests with you, then you shouldn't be looking anywhere else. Yeah, you need to give focus towards them, pay attention towards them. Can you give an example how people disrespect guests?
So when guests come to the house, they're not happy. They don't wanna give food to them. Like if they saved a drink and that was the only drink, and they would think that they would have to give a drink, because if there's a guest, you have to give something nice to them. And
well, look, what
they would want them.
Let's be honest. Come on, Hassan Reza. Let's be honest. What happens in a lot of cases when you have a guest in the front room? And you've gone back to your kitchen to see what's in the fridge. Say you got two type of desserts. One of them is your favorite dessert. It could be, for example, milk cake. And there's another dessert as well.
Rasmalai.
Yeah, rasmalai or kheer or something that you don't prefer, or it's not fresh. It's old. What happens a lot of times?
They pick the one that they don't like.
Yeah. They pick the ones they don't like and they give that to the guest. It might be okay, it might be tasty, but you have another one in that fridge as well, which is more tastier. And you chose for your guest the old one. And that's not right. That's a sign of being stingy. Come on, guys, what's going on? That's not the way. Alhamdulillah, we are Muslims and we need to live our life according to the beautiful teachings of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. So if you have anything nice, anything beautiful, you know, make sure you choose, you select that for your guests. And never think that, oh, this food's going to become less. Never think like that. Because when your guests come to your house, this is a reason for the mercy of Allah ta'ala. When your guest comes, remember this, whenever your guest comes, he doesn't come to have your food. He's not come here to reduce your food. Whatever that guest eats, that food was written for him. He has come for his own sustenance, his own rizq, his own food has brought him here. Any, if it's water, drink, you know, if it's any nuts or whatever you're giving to him, that is, that was for him. It was for him, it was written for that person. They would get that. Even if you made a, you know, like a moody face on or not. Yeah, they would have that because that food was written for them. So you should never feel sad about this. Their risk was written here. That's why they're here, they're having that food. You should never turn away the guests. Never look for excuses. Yeah, and this is something important that we need to keep in mind. And remember this, I'm talking to the kids here especially. When you have guests at your house, then look, it's your parents normally who receive them. So your parents are busy now with their guests. They're talking to them, they're having a bit of, you know, engagement with them. And a lot of kids, they run around, they make noise. Now before the guests, the kids were fine. They were happy, they were normal. But as soon as guests come and something happens to them, they just go crazy. They run around, they make noise, they turn the volume on so high of the TV, and they just disturb the guests. This is not right. This is something we need to realize, that it's not appropriate. You know, remember one thing, especially the kids here, the way you behave, this reflects the image of your parents. A lot of people, when they look at you, those people who are connected with your parents, those who are connected with your mother, those who are connected with your uncles or your father, them people, when they look at you, they don't just look at you and know you. They look at you as the son of that person, of their friend. And that's why they meet you nicely. And you do something stupid, you know, that it gives a wrong image. And they'll think, you know what, this person's so nice to us, but look at his own kids. His kids don't even know how to behave. They mess about so much, they do this, they do that. It's not appropriate. That's something that we need to realize. You know, as kids, regardless of our, you know, scenario, situation, we need to make sure when guests come to your house, you're on your best behavior. I'll give you one example, one beautiful example. Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam, the great Rabbi of Allah Ta'ala, Subhanallah, he used to love treating the guests. It is mentioned in some narrations that Sayyiduna Ibrahim al-Islam, he would not eat. He would normally prefer eating alone. He would wait for some guests to come, then he would have a meal with them. And if there's no guests there, then many times he would go out. He would go out from his area. He used to look out for people and gather people to his home, and then he used to eat with them. This is a beautiful thing. This is a beautiful thing. In fact, today we were talking about animals in the Quran. There's a spider that has been mentioned in the Quran. Can you believe it? Spiders. We've talked about ant before. There's a story, there's an animal, there's a cow that has been mentioned. There's a she-camel that has been mentioned in the glorious Quran. There's an elephant that has been mentioned in the glorious Quran. There's a dog that has been mentioned in the glorious Quran. Do you know the name of the dog that has been mentioned in the Quran? Come on, Hasan Raza. Okay, which type of dog, which dog has been mentioned? Like, is there like a story that I can remember?
I don't remember any story about a dog.
Do you remember a story of the cave?
Oh yeah, yeah, that one. Yeah.
Ashabi Kahf.
A god dog.
The god dog. See, the dog has been mentioned in the Quran as well. So there are so many animals, and we need to make sure that we treat animals well. Yeah. Now let's move on to our next segment, Islamic rulings.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love
Islamic rulings, and today inshallah we'll be talking about what is zakat. What is zakat? That's the term that you normally hear, zakah, or in Urdu people use the word zakat. What does it mean? First thing to keep in mind, that zakat is one of the five pillars of Islam. Okay, you have first pillar, which is shahada, okay, in your testimony of faith, reading the kalima, entering Islam. Second pillar is salah. Then you have sawm, fasting. Then you have zakah. Then the fifth one is hajj. So this is one of the pillar of Islam, where the foundations of Islam lie upon on these five pillars. So one of them is zakah. What does it mean? As Muslims, you see, for adult Muslims, if a year has passed by that you have the, you know, your, in your possession, you have money, or in other forms, you have in your possession, you have more than a certain threshold, the minimum threshold that has been mentioned by Sharia. If you have more than that, then after a year that goes past, then you must give 2.5% in the way of Allah. Just 2.5%. Or you can say divide by 40. So whatever wealth he has, he divides up by 40, which is 2.5%. He needs to give that in the way of Allah, as zakat. And this is to be given to a shari'i faqir. There's other areas where you can be used as well. Okay? Generally, you give it in the way of Allah. You give it to poor people, those who are in need. 2.5% of your wealth. That's about it. It's only a small amount. But when you give this, only this small amount, Allah has ordered us to give as zakat. This is the most give. Because when you give zakat, this, when you take this money out, this 2.5% away from your rest of your wealth, you are purifying your wealth. Because before this, the zakat money was in there as well. Other people, they have tax system and other sort of, you know, like a set where they ask regular income from the community. But in Islam, this is for the wealthy people. If someone's poor and he doesn't have any earning, he's in minus, he's in huge debt, and that means that he doesn't meet the threshold. And obviously he doesn't meet the threshold, forget about the year passing by, you know, where he's been above the threshold. So he's way below this. For him it's not first, it's not necessary for him. It's for the rich people, those who have the means, those who have, you know, those who have the provisions, they have the wealth, and they can't give. It's for them. And how many times do they need to give? Only once a year. Zakat is only once a year. And as Muslims, we should be proud of this, and we should give it happily in the way of Allah Ta'ala. Never be stingy. You know, as Muslims, our hearts need to be kind and, you know, open heart, warm hearts. Yeah, we need to be giving and supporting other people. But giving this zakat, one of the blessings that we'll get, we are helping the poor people, poor and needy people. And this is a setup, is a system in place that Allah Azza wa Jal has given, has made the, you know, rich people, you know, they could play a role in supporting the poor people. And this is how the world runs then. And if all the Muslims around the world, if they were to give zakat properly, then inshallah, you know, so much poverty will just go itself. You know, loads of people will have happy life. So please make sure, if you need to calculate your zakat, work out when your year ends, your year completes. Now, since you have been above the threshold, and now the start time of the year where you need to give zakat, give that zakat. Don't just wait for Ramadan. You shouldn't be delaying. For example, if your year ends on 1st of January, your year completes of your, you know, it's 1st of January this year, you need to give zakat. Now, you can't delay it till next Ramadan, 3 months after, 4 months after. You can't delay this. Delaying your farz is not allowed. You must give zakat when it's time for you to give, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Should we quickly go? Oh, the time's up now. Time's up. But quickly, let's go to our final segment, Islamic manners.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Islamic manners. And today, inshallah, just briefly, we will talk about finding faults in others. Remember, in this segment, we talk about those things that beautify our character, that make us a better person. And one of the qualities that we need to have is stop finding faults in others. Everyone has mistakes. We are a human being. Humans make mistakes. There's nothing wrong with making mistakes, but as long as you correct them, don't do them on purpose. Mistakes are done accidentally. Don't do that on purpose. Yeah, but one, this evil habit that people have, they always look for faults in other people. Even if someone done so much beautiful work, they'll say, you know what, oh, you didn't paint this properly. You didn't draw that properly. Yeah, this color theme is not right. You'll always be critical. You'll always try to find something that is weak in the art piece that someone has made. Or any work that someone done. If someone performed, he decided not in front of everyone, he did a short speech, you'll always go and find faults in about them. The way they dress, the way they talk. And that's not a nice habit. Yeah? You're doing more harm to yourself than other people. Because when you find fault in other people, then that's not a nice thing. You're not going to make friends like that. People will turn away from you. That is, you know, instead of finding faults in other people, we should be looking at ourselves, look in the mirror and find your own faults. If we were to spend our life just correcting our own faults, that would be more meaningful for us than looking out and finding faults in other people. Ah, it's a different matter that you saw mistakes or wrongdoings of other people and you learn from their mistakes. That's a different matter. That's learning from other people's mistakes. That's a beautiful thing to do as well. You don't need to repeat that mistake now. Someone's done it, he's made a mistake, now you don't need to do that mistake. That's a different matter. But this bad habit of finding faults in other people, oh, you did that time, you didn't come on time, you did this, you did that. That's not the way of Islam. So please keep that in mind, inshallah. So from now on, stop finding faults in other people. Instead, look at your own faults and try to improve your own character, inshallah. Now it's time to go. Look after yourself. Take care. Stay healthy, inshallah. Make sure you keep reading your namaz. Finally, before we go, can we all say with love and excitement, I love Islam. One more time. I love Islam.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. I love